Good evening, everyone, and good evening to fellow guests. Obed had asked me if I could do this evening's sermon, and I said yes. He asked me, well, do you have something that you would like to be able to talk about? And I said yes. I've been wanting to talk about this for quite a long time, and it's because I continue to keep getting bombarded by this, not just by family, but by friends. And so Obed started the sermon this morning, and I will continue it. Once saved, always saved. This has been a problem. Please turn to Revelations 3, 1 through 5. Revelations 3, 1 through 5. And it says, and unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath seven spirits of God, and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled thy garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So the question is, are we once saved, always saved? Well, there is a problem with a simple problem with once saved, always saved. And that is, it's not biblical anywhere in the Bible. This phrase is part of the doctrines of minds of men. And like I said, I continue to get bombarded by this by family and also by friends. We live in a society that this phrase is more and more used and practiced. No effort given or labor for the Lord. It boggles my mind is how can anyone think this way and lose their inheritance or salvation? We're going to read some scriptures to refute this phrase of once saved, always saved. Please turn to 2 Peter 1, 2 through 11. Second Peter 2, 1, 2 through 11. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity, love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so as entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter tells us that our salvation is conditional, and that if we do these things, we will never stumble, and a glorious entrance will be given to us into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But if we don't do these things, Peter mentions, then we are eternally lost. We should realize by now that Scripture is filled with the very conditions of salvation and damnation, often denoted by that little word, if. Everyone seems to ignore this little word. Now turn to what's in the same Peter, 2 Peter 2, 18 through 22. 2 Peter 18 through 22. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein, and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to their wallowing in mire. Peter tells us that the believer can fall from grace and be lost. Peter is talking about those who escaped the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, who then become entangled and overcome by sin and the flesh. Peter also says of them, their latter end is worse than the beginning, and it would have been better if they had never known the way of righteousness than to have turned from the way of truth. Now please turn to John 10, 26 through 29. And it says like this, be ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. The very promise of eternal security is not unconditional, but conditional. Those who are given the promise of eternal life are those who hear and follow Jesus. Both of these terms are in the present tense and indicate continuing action. This passage does not say that all you have to do is to have heard and follow Jesus once you got saved, and then God will forever save you. The term here means, the term for here means to listen, to hearken, to obey. This is what discipleship is all about, the obedience of faith. In order to be given the promise of eternal assurance, we must continue on the hearing and obedience of faith. There is no one saved, always saved in this word of the Lord. If you quit listening to God, if you quit obeying the Lord, if you quit faithfully following the Lord, then you will not and cannot be saved. Obedience. Following one's feelings is not obedience to God. Proverbs 14:12. Says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Obedience is more than a mere calling on the name of the Lord, but also involves doing the will of God. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many troubled souls will say in the last great day, Matthew 7:22-23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonders, wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work in iniquity. Obedience in the New Testament means hearkening to the voice of truth. John 17 says, sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. 1 Peter 1:22-23. It says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unforeign love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. In the study of obedience to God, it should be remembered that Jesus is the spokesman to this age. Hebrews 1:1-2. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. God declared the authority of Christ to this dispensation when he said, while ye yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him ye. Hear ye him, Matthew 17:5. We do not look to Moses or Elijah for the plan of salvation today, but to the Lord Jesus Christ and his Spirit-guided apostles. Obedience involves faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Please turn to 1 Corinthians 15:58. And it says, therefore, my brethren, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What does this mean? It means that our labor has to do with hard work, and that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. This earth is filled with many today who wish to live without working and laboring for the Lord. Like I have said, I see it every week. But when it comes to earthly gain, those individuals will do anything, hard work, yes. But when it comes to their salvation, where is their effort? Coming to worship once every Sunday, can you really call this effort? We had 70 members this morning that came to worship. There's not even half of that this evening. Where is the effort? Where is the love for thy Lord? Once saved, always saved. We must be evangelistic, yes. Mark 16:15-16 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. As Christians, we must edify and build others up. Ephesians 4:16. Let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Galatians 6:10. John 8:12 says, then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Notice that the concept of life is not being able to have. Notice that the concept of light is being able to have life. The concept of the scripture is always that God is the light, and his word provides direction and guidance for our lives in the darkness. We cannot let our light dim without effort on our part, but we must continue to labor for our Lord, for our labor will not be in vain. Conclusion. So the question is, are we once saved, always saved? No, of course not. We have just read scripture for that. It is not biblical in the Bible, and we are able to refute this phrase, once saved, always saved, by the scripture. The notion for anyone to say, I don't have to work for my salvation because I've been baptized. I can do as little as I want because I'm saved. You see, this is happening today. We can fall from grace, yes, but with obedient faith and labor for the Lord, we can keep from the phrase, once saved, always saved, to have a foothold in our thinking. Do we really want to lose our inheritance kept in heaven? 1 Peter 1:3-5. Let's go there. We read that scripture quite often. First Peter 1:3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith into salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We have been born into two great things by God's mercy: a living hope, and into an inheritance from our Lord. Are we not afraid where our spirit and our soul will go? 1 Thessalonians 5:2. For yourselves know perfectly that that day of the Lord shall cometh as a thief in the night. Do we really want to lose our spiritual works, not just works of this earthly world? Revelation 20:12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their work. So we see that we must be ready to refute the claim of once saved, always saved, not just by our talk with our lips, but by Scripture, to those willing to listen. As we get older, our step might be slower, but our faith, obedient faith, must continue to be stronger, and we must continue to edify each other. There is a saying that it starts, that it's not how you start, but yes, we must first be baptized, but it's how you finish the race that our salvation counts. 2 Timothy 4:6-7. Paul says, "For I am not ready, now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." It says that he has kept the faith, has labored to the end. We must never think and let once saved, always saved have a foothold to our salvation. Then your race has not finished. Brothers and sisters, we do not live forever, so we must focus on that goal to be with our Lord God. We must always be ready to refute any notion of once saved, always saved by Scripture. So now is the time to become a Christian today. If you believe in Jesus Christ to receive the remission of your sins, repent and be baptized to wash away your sins. Acts 22:16. And it says, "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Call on the name of the Lord." 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in thy time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Once baptized, you must walk and live holy as the Lord is holy, and be steadfast, immovable always, abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, once saved, always saved. We refute it, and we continue to refute it by Scripture. We must always be ready to give the Scripture to those that are willing to listen and to hearken the word. So now, as we stand and sing the song of invitation.